Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday morning, time for a new episode of Weekend Sports Huddle. It's Tom Pollan sitting in the host chair again. We got like a slow week for a little while, but boy, things heated up yesterday and in the last couple of days, actually. We're going to cover it all. We have going wall-to-wall again. Got a lot of business to take care of here. Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers. Back playing table stakes poker, both holding the same cards as they did last year, both making the same bets they did last year. And we're going to find out what's new with both these, with this situation, with especially with Dave and Hunter and big Steelers fans. We're going to get a good analysis of what's happening in Pittsburgh. Back in the day, well, at least until about 3 or 4 years ago, nobody – made trades in the NFL. The NFL, you know, it just things weren't just done that way. Now they're beginning to look more like Major Baseball, and free agency doesn't begin until next week, so we're going to look at some of that. Heading over to college basketball, an area we don't normally find as often, Pitt fired their head basketball coach, Kevin Stallings. A once proud Pitt basketball program has just gone into the tank the last two seasons, and we're going to look at what happened there. And we're going to conclude with some news coming out of Cubs camp in Mesa. A couple of surprises, but from all accounts, this is a team that really knows that they disappointed last year and seemed determined to really get back to where they were in 2016. So we'll look at that. Right now, I'm going to bring in my co-host in one corner, about 5'10", and from his pictures, looks like he weighs about 120 pounds, from West Virginia, Hunter Hody. Hunter, how you doing?
Oh, my God. I think Tom got my state wrong again. Tom, you
got to
get
better.
Oh, Virginia,
that's nice.
Oh, my God. 5'10". I'm over 6 feet, Tommy. Oh, Tommy.
Okay, then you're 6 feet and 120 pounds.
There you go. That's a little better. Oh, my God. Tom. I'm doing good this morning.
Good. In the other corner, 6 foot tall, weighing 170 pounds, 160 when he's clean shaven, the executive producer of Weekend Sports Huddle, Mr. Davidson. Dave, what's going on?
Not too much, Tom. How you doing? Over 6 feet tall, Hunter. I'm impressed. Yeah.
Yeah. So am I. Don't look quite that tall in your pictures. But, you know, we'll take your word for it.
All right, well, Tom, how tall are you, Tom?
5'10".
5'10"? Oh, okay. There you go. That's not bad.
5'10". That's all the height I've ever needed. Let's just say I'm under tall for my weight. So right now,
yeah,
my ideal height would be about 8'2". So
8'2".
Yeah, but Tom, you have a lot of power, a lot of mass there, and you did well in the strength categories at the combine.
You got it. Pushing those reps as far as the bench press, but ran about 7.8 40-yard dash, so that kind of kills me. If any anybody wants to get in on all this conversation, get in on the fun, give us a call, 516-371-4417. If you're just too shy to call in and face us on the phone, you can get us by Twitter, WKD Sports Huddle. This show brought to you by Marco Sacchio, Learn the Secret of the Human Mind, and the Laws of the Universe that will guide you to wealth and health. Learn more at www.marcosacchio.com. All right, guys. Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers. It's Groundhog Day. So, Dave.
I love that movie.
Yeah, oh, so do I. It's just outstanding. It's an incredible movie. But Steelers increased their offer from last season. But according to Jenny Fowler of ESPN, Bell won't play less than for the franchise tag of $14.5 million. He said in January he would contemplate retirement if tagged a second year. However, the Steelers have tagged him. Now he's saying that he's going to hold out a training camp again. He will be there for game one, but won't be attending training camp if the Steelers insist on keeping this contract, franchise tag on him. So, let's see. I'm going to toss this out to Hunter first. Hunter, what is your take on what's going on with Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers?
Well, Tom, I'm glad you asked me. So they did franchise tag him. Everyone knows that. To try to get a deal done by, I believe the deadline is July 16th. Ultimately, though, I do think this year is the year that they will get a deal done. I was hesitant last year, but I've come up with a few reasons for everyone. The first, I think, is the biggest one. This is probably the last time that they will be able to sign him. There's the tag next year is a quarterback price. It's like around what Kirk Cousins' money it's paid. That's how much it is. It's pretty ridiculous. They won't even go near that. And they'll let him walk. And I've said all along, they've always wanted to sign him long term and have his career end in Pittsburgh. And I looked at last year as a start in negotiations, and I think this is where it ends ultimately. I just think, they'll both come to a number that they'll both agree on. We all know that he's always said, I want to set the market. Now for really a running back market that's just really just flattened out. I know Dave said that, Devontae Freeman is the highest paid running back right now. Well, contract-wise, at $8.25 million. I mean, I'm not going to fault Le'Veon Bell and say, hey, I'm the best at what I do. I want to be compensated for it. But I do think his price needs to come down. I think for the people that say, let's cut him, let's let him walk, or let's sign him and trade him, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. That really makes me question their football takes. If you did that, you're not getting anything in return. What are you going to get, a third-round pick for him? No thanks. Jarvis Landry couldn't even fetch that, and he's a pretty good wide receiver in the league. This just isn't the guy you let walk. A player like him doesn't grow on a tree. For all the bad that comes with him, and there is bad, I will admit to that, he's done so much, and this is a guy you keep him and you try to sign him for at least one more year. And if you can't do it, what do you say? I guess you say you tried. I guess that's the way you say it.
So, do you think one more year is good enough for you, or are you looking for them? Because the Steelers right now cap hit all 32 NFL teams at running back.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, are you saying 1 year? You think they can get a multi-year deal done?
I think, this is the last year they have. They won't be able to sign him next year. So this really is it, if they want to truly sign him.
Okay. Dave, why don't you weigh in on your end of this debate?
Well, Hunter brought up a few things that I wanted to point out. The number one thing, Devontae Freeman getting $8.25 million, the highest salary, average annual salary of any running back in the league. Contracts in the NFL are more complicated than baseball or the NHL because there's bonus money. There's money that you don't get if you get released. There's money that's guaranteed. So it's a lot more complicated than just, you know, this is what the average annual salary is for each player. But that is how they're graded and how they look at that stuff. And I'm going to flip it around on you, Hunter. This is Le'Veon Bell's last chance to accept a deal from the Steelers. You're saying it's the Steelers' last chance to sign him? I think it's Le'Veon Bell's last chance in Pittsburgh because – yeah, he can go on the open market if he wants, and he can test free agency. He's not getting $14 million on free agency. He's not. Devontae Freeman, $8.25 million is his average salary. The Steelers have reportedly offered him last year $13.3 million over 4 years, $42 million in his first 3 years of the contract. It's not being reported how many years the contract was, but that's how much he was going to get in the first 3 seasons. His mom reportedly wanted him to take the deal. His agent wanted him to take the deal. I've never heard of a mother and agent telling a player to take a deal and the player refusing the contract. What
I never heard
is
about
Le'Veon Bell going
I heard
to
about
agreed?
His agent.
But boy, you know, if you know, the guy won't even listen to his mother. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. I actually didn't know that. That's weird. But I knew about his agent. I did know about that. I did not hear that his mother. If that is true, then whew, that's weird.
Le'Veon Bell told Jeremy Fowler of ESPN that. I mean, it's not even a report from Jeremy Fowler. Like, Jeremy Fowler said, this is what Le'Veon Bell told me. It's not even sources. Le'Veon Bell shared this information. I don't know why he would want people to know that. But to me, he's just being absolutely ridiculous in this contract negotiation. He's not – go ahead. Test free agency, Bell. You're not getting $14 million. Adrian Peterson tried that. I get it. Adrian Peterson was older than Bell and couldn't do as many things as Le'Veon Bell can. Peterson was never the pass catcher that Le'Veon Bell is. But come on. Running backs don't get paid $14 million. They don't. And you're not going to get paid that much just because you want to get paid like Antonio Brown. You want to get paid like Ben Roethlisberger. The Steelers are making you an offer to be the highest paid running back. And they have increased their offer this offseason, according to reports. So they are trying to meet Bell's demands. It's Bell's turn to show that he wants to be in Pittsburgh and that winning is important to him. Because right now he's counting as $14.5 million against the cap, and the Steelers at that number are not going to be able to sign many players to help that defense.
They still can't.
You look at Le'Veon Bell, though, and I'm looking at his stats right now for the last two seasons. This guy not only runs for over 1,000 yards every, you know, for the last 2 years, but he gets wide receiver-type targets. He's got 94 targets in 2016, 106 targets in 2017, quite 85 of those targets. You could say that that Le'Veon does is kind of out of the ordinary for what he does as both a running back and receiving back.
So I'll ask the same question I did. What number, then, is he worth? I mean, the Steelers are offering to pay him $5 million more on average than the highest paid current running back in the league. I mean, how much more money should he get?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
All right, Hunter, you know, you want to keep him. How do you keep him the way things are going right now? I mean.
Well, Dave's right. You have to have him come down from his demand, and you have to have them both meet in the middle, I think. And this is the last – these last 4 months are so huge, are critical, because this is the last time to do it. You both of them have to meet in the middle. You can't just have one guy standing at top saying, I want this much, I'm not going to budge, and you can't have the Steelers just say, like, well, we can't do it. The Steelers have been trying, and which is great, but no, I do think Le'Veon needs to come down and meet in the middle, and then they'll come to a deal. He said on his Instagram video that they're very close again, and I don't know how much I buy that because he said that like about a month ago. So I have no idea. They just need to meet in the middle for this to work.
I don't buy anything Le'Veon Bell says right now. I really don't. He's tweeting about how he wants to be in Pittsburgh for his career. If you wanted to be in Pittsburgh, you'd sign this deal. I'm sorry, it's a good deal. By all everything that I know about it that's being reported, it's a good deal for him. Unless there's no guaranteed money in the contract, because there hasn't been any reports about how much of the money is guaranteed. So if very little is guaranteed or something like that, then I can see that being an issue. But as long as a reasonable amount is guaranteed, this is a good deal for him. And him not taking it, to me, shows two things. One, winning is not important to him. Getting his money is more important than winning the Super Bowl, which I think the Steelers have too many of those players on their roster. And two, he doesn't really want to be in Pittsburgh. It's not that important to him. Again, money is a bigger thing for him than playing for the Steelers.
Well, I mean, the Bears had a kind of situation last season where it didn't seem like, well, they had Alshon Jeffrey, who apparently really did not want to be in Chicago no matter what, and that's why he ended up getting loose by the Bears. But went to the Philadelphia Eagles and won a Super Bowl. So, you know, not quite the same thing. But, you know, is it a case of Le'Veon Bell not wanting to be in Pittsburgh? Do you think that really is an issue with him?
I don't know. Hunter's right. He has said all along he wants to be in Pittsburgh. I think I read a story this week that the Steelers were his childhood team, which this is the first time I've heard that. But I guess he's been a Steelers fan for at least part of his life before he was playing. I'm biased, but I think the Steelers are a great organization. So I don't know why you wouldn't want to be in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. But to me, that's what it seems like, that making – an absurd amount of money is much more important. The other thing that just drives me just up the wall, the point of the franchise tag or the point of the long-term deal coming to a long-term deal, as opposed to having a player play on a franchise tag, is you alleviate some of that cap space for that upcoming season. You get more guaranteed money as a player. You get the assurance that you have a long-term deal, but you're not going to get as much money up front. Le'Veon Bell wants both. Le'Veon Bell, the franchise tag is worth $14.5 million. He has said he's not playing for less than $14.5 million. So he wants a long-term deal with insurance that he's going to be paid for multiple years and $14.5 million in 2018. That's not how it works, Bell. That's not how it works. He will get less money than the franchise tag if he signs a long-term deal. I've never heard of a player getting the same amount as a franchise tag on a long-term deal.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be. I don't think he'll get that kind of money long-term. I'd be kind of surprised if it was 14.5. If I had to guess, it'll be somewhere probably below 14, but around maybe like 13.6 or something like that. That's my guess.
All right, Hunter. To put a cap on the conversation, I just want to ask you, so you said that anybody who wants to let him walk or sign him and then trade him, they're idiots. So you're agreeing with me that the number for Bell is too high. So what do the Steelers do if they can't agree? If Bell does not come down, it really doesn't sound like he's going to, what do the Steelers do at the end of July if he's on the franchise tag, they didn't come to an agreement by the deadline, and he's sitting out of training camp? What do they do?
You let him play, and then he's gone. That's really all. That's all. You have no choice.
Okay.
You bank that this is the year you win the Super Bowl, and that you have the team to do it, and then he goes out on top, and then he can go out and cash out and do whatever the hell he wants. You really have no choice. They really have no choice in the matter. because they're not going to franchise tag him next year.
So you're just saying keep him no matter what for 2018?
Yes. Yes, this season. Yes, you keep him this season.
What's your opinion, Dave?
I agree with that. I can see it going either way, though, because I think this draft is a good running back draft. I think the Steelers have some holes on defense that they need to fix. They usually don't fix things through free agency, but Ben Roethlisberger, the clock's ticking on his career. I think there's urgency to fix things quickly with free agency. We saw that with the Joe Hayden signing late last summer. So I would not be against them trading Bell, drafting a running back that they were confident in, and then using the leftover money to fix the defense. I think it's a real – Bell is putting the Steelers in a real sticky situation. He is, because of the salary cap.
The problem is, I've been looking at the SpotRack, which does a great job of giving salary breakdowns.
Great site.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. And the problem is, with Le'Veon Bell at 14.5, the Steelers actually would have no cap room. There would be no free agency in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at running back cap hit rankings right now, and LeSean McCoy at 8.9 is the highest at running back as far as a cap hit, and Bell's going to be making $5 million above that. And as I said, he gets wide receiver targets as well as 1,000 yards rushing. But 14.5, do you think – I've been seeing some speculation online this past week that maybe the Steelers rescind the franchise tag at some point. Do you think that's a possibility?
No.
I
don't think there's any way that's going to happen. I'd be very surprised, honestly. I actually haven't read that. Where did you read that?
I've read it in a few areas. It's just some speculation, a couple of Pittsburgh blog sites that have I've seen them speculate about whether the Steelers might eventually rescind that tag.
Yeah, I'd honestly be kind of surprised. I don't think that they'll do that. I know they're going to open up cap somewhere else. Mike Mitchell, happy trails to him next week. That salary is going to get cut off. And I think that some other veterans they said are going to get cut next week too. So they are going to be opening up some cap room for that. And I think to either sign a safety or an inside linebacker in free agency and then get the other guy in the draft. That's my guess.
Well, you have Antonio Brown has already restructured his contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
he's getting all that
one plus.
Signing bonus as guaranteed money.
Yes. Yeah. He restructured the contract. It doesn't mean he's hurting himself. So.
Oh, no. He's getting all that money up front this year. He's getting a lot of money, apparently.
But, running backs have become devalued in the NFL. But we were talking last week about Matt Forte and how valuable he was because of his receiving abilities. And Bell is kind of the same way. I can't see the Steelers, if they can't get a long-term deal done, I can't see him coming back to the Steelers after 2018. If he won't agree to what they're offering now, there's no way he comes back, after another offseason of negotiating. But the problem is he's not going to get anywhere near that deal, no matter how good he is. He's kind of killing his best chance at making his money now, in my opinion.
I'd be curious to see what bad teams or teams that have not made the playoffs in the last couple of years that would go after him would offer him. I would honestly be curious to see how much other NFL GMs would offer him, because some of these GMs are so stupid that I actually think a couple would offer him this kind of money. I'm not even joking. I actually do think a couple dumb GMs bad teams could offer him that kind of money. But do I think it'll happen? Probably not. I don't think so. But
yeah.
I just said it's out there. It's out there. It could. You never know.
I guess you never know. You're right, but that's a lot of money. I really don't think so. He's going to be, and by next year he'll be 27. He'll be 27,
yeah,
and
that's
usually the year that it's kind of made up, or arbitrarily,
yeah,
that is the year that running backs start to go down, and that's he's not getting a bigger deal than he. I would be surprised if he gets a bigger deal than the Steelers are offering next year in free agency. I would really be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
No, in my opinion, he's not going to get it. And if he doesn't take it now, he's shooting himself in the foot.
Yes, yeah, I completely agree, Tom. That's why I at the beginning of the conversation, I flipped it on Bell. This is Bell's last chance to get this deal, to sign with the Steelers, stay with a winning organization, and make a lot of money and have a chance to win the Super Bowl. I think you're right, Tom. I'm glad you brought up his stats. I don't mean to minimize the importance of Bell to the Steelers. He's been probably the most important piece of their offense the last 2 years. But you know what? He missed 2015. The Steelers still made the playoffs. They made a run. They lost to the best defense probably the last 3 years in Denver. They put up a really good game in Denver on the road without Antonio Brown, without Bell, and without number two running back, D'Angelo Williams. So if they decide to go the route of we're going to trade Bell, we're going to rescind the franchise tag and use that money elsewhere, I don't think that's a bad decision. I really don't. I think that if they found another running back in the draft or a veteran like D'Angelo Williams, I think Bell is more easily replaced than we realize, just because that's the way running backs are in today's NFL.
I don't even think there's any running back free agents out there this year. I haven't seen any good ones, honestly. It would have to be through the draft, but I'm probably like a Sonny Michel, but like I haven't watched these guys, so.
All right. Well, that wraps up our Le'Veon Bell conversation. If our audience has anything to add, give us a call, 516-387-1417. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the NFL trade market burying the free agency news that free agency is going to hit next week, but nobody's talking about it right now. So we'll get into that when we get back.
Three More Bites, the cookbook series by husband and wife duo Ayo and Bob Lai, will keep you entertained and your appetite satisfied. With recipes inspired by their life stories, cooking and enjoying these unique recipes is a perfect way to spend time with friends and family. Whether you are an experienced chef or just learning to cook, their helpful cooking tips and tricks and delicious recipes will have you begging for three more bites. Pick up your copy of Three More Bites Presents Cozy Cooking and Three More Bites Presents Three Weddings and a Honeymoon today from www.threemorebites.com.
And we're back on Week in Sports. This is Tom Pollan hosting, along with Dave Holcomb and Hunter Hodes. Give us a call. We're going to talk about the NFL's trade, kind of like their new willingness, team's new willingness to trade. A lot of things happening yesterday in free agency. The legal tampering period, I heard somebody call it that, starts Monday. The signing period is Wednesday, 4:00 Eastern time. So we're going to see real quick what happens with a lot of rosters this week. Give us a call, 516-387-1417. This show is brought to you by author Mark Kosaki, Learn the Secret of the Human Mind, and the Laws of the Universe that will guide you toward wealth and health. Learn more at www.markosaki.com. All right. Things went all crazy up in Cleveland yesterday. Are they ready to challenge the Steelers atop the AFC North?
Tom, you're too kind.
I let you have first weigh in on the last topic, Hunter, so we're going to go with Dave here. Josh,
are you sure?
Landry, Tyrod Taylor, and to go along with Josh Gordon, boy, the Browns are making a lot of noise with some of the draft picks that they've been stockpiling.
I was kind of ready for Hunter's colorful answer. I think maybe he should go first.
Oh, okay. Hunter, give us your colorful answer first.
Well, guys, I think the Browns said yesterday, they're like, wow, what could we do? And I think they're like, hey, let's watch draft day and imitate the GM that was doing all the trades at the NFL draft. So I guess that happened. John Dorsey just watched it, and he probably saw the fans that got excited, and you know maybe he got more Cleveland fans excited. Jarvis Landry, he's a good wide receiver. I think he's underrated by some. He's a good complement to Josh Gordon if Josh Gordon, of course, stays off the weed. And and of course, there's Corey Coleman, who I actually don't mind when he's healthy. Damn, Tom really likes my references this morning, it seems. I've always liked Jarvis Landry in Miami. You know, he's had bad quarterback play there, too. Not high on Ryan Tannehill. I remember when people used to think some people out there that thought Ryan Tannehill was actually better at a time than Ben Roethlisberger, and I think I spit my water out. But he's not good. Matt Moore was bad. Jay Cutler was also awful. And then they also got Tyrod Taylor, who's a one-year rental. They're going to draft a QB in the top five regardless. It'll probably take a year to learn the system, then take over for him the next year. Just a bridge starter. And then, you know, I'm going to pray to God, my God, I hope they don't get Saquon Barkley because that I just don't need that to happen. Because how many Steelers fans who are also Penn State fans, and they don't want to root against him, I'm sure. But then they got a cornerback yesterday. It was Demarius Randall from Green Bay. And then they gave up on DeShone Kizer, who is a bad backup.
Well, DeShone Kizer was going to be their quarterback in the future. That lasted all of 16 games. Not much
Cleveland,
of a future.
Baby. That's Cleveland for you, Tom. That's Cleveland for you. Well,
yeah, but that was before Josh Dorsey got there.
Nah, I know. Well, you know, it's Cleveland until I see it not be Cleveland. So we'll see what happens. You know, I hope they don't get Saquon Barkley. I hope they draft the quarterback at number one, and then maybe Saquon goes to somewhere like the Giants, who have the number two pick, because that would be the best-case scenario.
Guess what, Hunter? Saquon Barkley is going to Cleveland.
No thanks. Go to New York.
That's going to round out that just steamroller of an offense. Two guys who can go deep whenever called upon, and Saquon Barkley just trashing defensive lines, and Tyrod Taylor running and just airmailing the ball everywhere, sometimes even to his own receivers. So it's going to be interesting, if nothing else, in Cleveland.
He better not. Saquon better not go there. That'll make a lot of Penn State Steelers fans very unhappy. But go ahead, Dave. What are your thoughts?
Well, so much to say off of that colorful response. First of all, did you actually watch draft day?
Yes, I have. I've watched it a few times.
Like, why? That movie looks terrible.
It's okay, but like, you know, it's not good.
I've never wanted to sacrifice the 2 hours of my life it would take to watch it.
Exactly. And I like Kevin Costner.
I've only watched the whole thing once. I every time it comes on, I tune in for a little bit, then I just turn it off because I remember like how it's just not that good of a movie.
It seemed like a really really poor man's Moneyball. Like, you know, they were trying to recreate Moneyball and and
no,
failed
they're just
miserably.
Trying to, they're just trying. They're just trying to finally have find the year when the Browns will be good again. And you know what? That probably year won't come until maybe I'm long gone. But I don't know.
Well, I think it could come sooner than that because I kind of like some of these moves they made. And I agree with Tom that this, to me, kind of leads them to drafting the running back at number one.
No.
Oh, I think I think all of this leads right into taking Saquon Barkley. It makes no sense if you don't take Barkley at number one.
I agree.
Cleveland, they'll take Sam Darnold. They'll take Sam Darnold.
They can get their quarterback at number five.
Yeah.
Or they'll take someone like Josh Rosen or Baker Mayfield.
Hey, Baker Mayfield says he would like to go to the Browns. He's
got another thing coming then. Doesn't everyone know that's where quarterbacks go to die? Oh, people.
Well, I don't know.
I'm sorry. It's just very fun to rag on Cleveland.
Bernie Kosar, I don't think, died in Cleveland. Brian Sipe didn't die in Cleveland. Otto Graham put together a Hall of Fame career in Cleveland. So
who is that? Who's Otto Graham?
Oh, God.
No, no, Hunter.
Who's Tom talking about? These people.
Okay. All right. We're just going to move on. We're going to move on.
Yeah.
Can't do it, Tom. Okay.
Well,
this
is not as well. No matter how
we do it. I think Tom's point, Hunter, is that you can't just – I mean, it is a new GM. It is a new regime. I know it's the Browns, that they have a bad history since they came back as an expansion team. But eventually, they're going to put something together. I mean, even the Pirates made the playoffs a couple times. I mean
I'm not ready to live in a world where Cleveland is actually a good team. Not ready yet. Not ready yet.
Well, you better get ready because their roster is better than it was yesterday. And that was kind of going to be my point. I know they went 0-16. They can't get any worse. But I'm just looking at their roster from a roster standpoint, not record-wise. They're across the board on offense, they're better. And I agree with Tom. I think they're going to draft Barkley. And if Steelers fans think the worst thing about them drafting Barkley is they have to root against them, they have another thing coming because Barkley's going to be really good and could be a real pain in the butt for the Steelers defense starting as early as next season. So that is just having to root against him is the least of my concerns. Worrying about him transforming the Browns offense is my concern. We've seen that with Ezekiel Elliott. We saw that with Leonard Fournette. In one season, those offenses turned around and those running backs took their teams to the playoffs. Fournette led the Jaguars to the championship game last year after we were making fun of the Jaguars for years and years, how they were a joke. So absolutely Barkley can turn around a joke of a franchise like the Browns in one season. I think he can do it. The one thing I will say about Landry, I think the key to him being successful in Cleveland is actually Josh Gordon. I'm glad you brought him up, Hunter, and his off-the-field issues, I'll say. Because Landry, to me, you said he's underrated. I disagree. I think people look at him as a number one receiver, and he really isn't because he doesn't go downfield. He had 112 catches last year, but yet failed to reach 1,000 yards. Tom, have you ever heard of a receiver having 100 catches and not having 1,000 yards? That is unheard of. He averaged 8.8 yards per reception. 8.8 yards per reception?
He didn't necessarily get the quarterback.
Who is his quarterback?
He didn't have the quarterback.
8.8 yards per reception is ridiculously low. Ridiculously low.
It's Jay Cutler. He's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league.
8.8 yards per catch.
Tom, save me. Save me, Tom.
Nope.
Oh, not even Tom's on my side.
8.8 yards a catch is pretty dismal no matter who's throwing the ball to you.
It is bad. Yeah, it is. But it's also, it's Jay Cutler.
It doesn't matter to me. 8.8 yards per catch is so low. It's not like he had a great average the year before. And, okay, yeah, he had Matt Moore and Ryan Tannehill throwing him passes that season. But still, 12.1 isn't great. If you're averaging 12.1 yards per catch in today's NFL, you got to put up Antonio Brown numbers, 1,800, 1,700 yards. And he's not doing that. So he's a slot receiver. He's a glorified slot receiver.
He is.
Great
he's a slot receiver. You're right.
Yeah, he is.
So he will be a great complement to the number one, who is Josh Gordon, if Gordon is on the field. If the Browns think Landry is their number one receiver, then they're going to have issues. But I like
adding Landry
for only a third-round pick.
They didn't give up first-round or number one receiver Landry.
That's true. That's true.
And considering all the draft picks that the Browns have collected over the last couple of years, they did pretty good getting, you know, for a third round pick, you get a number one slot receiver. So, you know, I think that's a great use of a draft pick, actually.
No, I agree. I agree with you, Tom. And again, I said at the top that their roster is, I think it's a lot better than it was last week, yesterday, before the trades. So that's my number one takeaway point. But my second one is, you know, is Landry a legit number one wide receiver? My answer is probably not. I think he would be a great, great number two. Absolutely. Maybe the best number two receiver in the league, if Gordon is on the field for all 16 games.
Yeah.
Well, the supposed offensive genius, Hugh Jackson, is going to get a chance to show it next season. we'll see how he uses some of these weapons after going 1-31 over the last 2 years. Let's go a couple other places. Richard Sherman, released by the considered by many to be the top cornerback in the NFL, released by Seattle this past week. And from what I heard, apparently Richard Sherman had dinner with Mike Shanahan in San Francisco last night, and they're going to be talking contract today.
Yeah, that's a punch in the face to the Seahawks. I'm sure they're very happy over that. I'm sure my stepdad and my stepbrother are going to go crazy since they are huge 49ers fans. But just want to say before, Tom, man, you got me crying when you said the offensive genius, Hugh Jackson. Man, he really is a genius. The genius of losing that. but, yeah, this is going to get Seattle fans right here, right in the heart. Put a dagger right in the heart when they see if he goes to San Francisco. You know, that'll be the day that, you know, watch, guys. I'm sure they'll burn. I'm sure people will burn his jerseys. Watch, there'll be a few Seattle Seahawks fans that will burn his jersey if he goes to the 49ers. It will. You just watch. Be a few. There'll be a few. Because there are people that do it for all the time. It's just, I hope they don't know. But go ahead.
Hunter, can I say something? I think you're too concerned with fan bases and what they do and how they think.
I just like seeing the reactions. That's all. I just like seeing it.
Okay. Because I read a story this morning that the divorce between the Seahawks and Sherman seemed pretty amicable. Like, very, very understanding on both sides that the Seahawks are trying to save some salary space. I think they're actually trying to be smart and maybe reallocate that money towards their offensive line. I think Seattle's finally figured out that we just can't just get guys off the street to block for Russell Wilson. And it's affecting our running game because we have no blocking. It's just killing our offense the last few years,
Russell,
when you don't have –
it's amazing Russell Wilson can even get rid of the ball.
I'm surprised he didn't miss a game last year.
I think Russell Wilson led the league in rushing without ever stepping past the line of scrimmage. considering how far he had to run just to get release passes.
Right. So I would think that Seattle's going to use some of this money to shore up that offensive line. Sherman has said that he appreciated getting released before free agency started so he can get a head start on his negotiations with other teams. They kind of left open the possibility of him coming back for less. I don't think that's going to happen, but I would not be surprised if Sherman goes play somewhere, competes, and then finishes his career in Seattle. I think he might come back.
Now, I think I actually think that it sounds like Sherman's one visit to him is going to be his destination. I expect to see the 49ers sign him. We were going to talk a little bit about the Bears' targets in free agency, especially wide receivers, who they're definitely going to be getting a look at. I think what we'll end up doing is analyzing the move that they make next Saturday because we're running low on time a bit, and we're going to take another break. When we come back, a once-proud college basketball team hit the skids and fired their head coach last week. We're going to talk about that. We're going to spend a little time talking about the Cubs, how things are going for them in Arizona. So after we come back from this break, still have time to take a call, 516-387-1417, and be back on Weekend Sports Huddle in just a moment.
Would you like to advertise on WRSP Radio? Your ad can be heard on multiple platforms, from radio to video and even print magazines. WRSP Radio is looking for advertisers now, and our amazing low rates won't last forever. So contact us today at info@wrspradio.com. That is info@wrspradio.com.
We are back on Weekend Sports Huddle. That'll be our final break of the show. This show is brought to you by author Marco Sacchio, Learn the Secret of the Human Mind and the Laws of the Universe that will guide you toward wealth and health. Learn more at www.marcosacchio.com. And remember, you can follow this show on Twitter at WKD Sports Huddle. And give us a look on Facebook. Search for Weekend Sports Huddle. Give us a like. Join the conversation. And as far as the conversation now, for 13 seasons, Jamie Dixon had Pitt positioned as a power, first in the Big East, then in the ACC. And his Kevin Stallings, his replacement, has just been fired after two just ridiculously dismal seasons. Boy, that the Panthers went down into the toilet bowl these last couple of years. 0-18 in conference play in last season. So just a complete mess. What went wrong, Hunter?
What went wrong? One thing, Jamie Dixon, he left. That's what went wrong.
Apparently he reluctantly left. It wasn't He wanted to go, but it was more that, from what I saw, that Pitt really didn't make an effort to keep him around,
which was ultimately their downfall. Not even my school, Virginia Tech. We had an awful basketball program for years before Buzz Williams came in and actually brought us to two straight tournaments. We weren't even 0-18 bad in any conference play. It was more, we actually won at least maybe 3 to 4 ACC games, but you just got to get a new coach who can actually recruit and you can get good players. And it takes a while, though. I remember this program when it was so good. This team used to be the number one seed in the NCAA tournament, number one team in the country. They went to an Elite Eight one year against Villanova. That game really made me mad because I actually really was a huge fan of Pitt, and then Scotty Reynolds happened. I will always forever hate that man. Because he busted my bracket. Yeah, Scotty Reynolds. Yeah, I always forever hate that man because he busted my bracket. They had, Jamie Dixon, DeJuan Blair, LaVance Fields. It was – those teams were outstanding. And it just needs to be back on its feet soon. They need to get a coach that knows how to recruit in the ACC because, you know, it's not the Big East anymore. But they just need to get new players. They need to have that place at the Pete sold out again, because I remember that place. It was one of the hardest places to play. Now you can't even put five people in there. That's how pathetic it got. It's just – it's unfortunate.
I'm sure Scotty Reynolds is Scotty Reynolds is very upset that
he
hurt your bracket, Hunter.
I know, yeah, I'm sure he is. Too bad he didn't win that year. Good riddance, Scotty Reynolds.
No, you dislike Scotty Reynolds because he is up there in Pittsburgh sports history with Larry Brown and David Volek, and I think it was Francisco Cabrera.
No,
I'm sorry, Hunter. We've moved on from your bracket. We've put that aside.
Okay.
And we're thinking big picture here. Scotty Reynolds is up there in Pittsburgh sports history, with Larry Brown, David Volek, and I believe it was Francisco Cabrera. You know who those three guys are?
I've heard of Larry Brown, not the other two.
Oh, you don't even know David Volek?
No, I actually haven't heard that name.
David Volek scored the game-winning goal of Game 7 between the Penguins and Islanders in 1993.
He ended
the Penguins.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking. Don't bet you that. I can't hear Islanders lose Game 7 without getting a heart attack.
You weren't even alive in 1993.
I know, but when I see that on TV, it makes me sad because they should never have blown that lead.
That's true. And Francisco Cabrera, real quickly, I know we're short on time.
By the way, I know what you mean, Hunter, because in 1971, the Blackhawks were up 2-0 against the Canadiens, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, and gave up two goals. Henri Pocket Rocket Richard scored two goals, just killed it. And, boy, I know how that feels when these things happen in the third period to end your championship dreams.
Yeah,
of course, I was alive for that. I didn't watch it on television.
I got you, Tom. Go ahead, Dave. Talk to us about Kevin Stallings and how bad he is.
Sure. I think you peek at some of my notes on the rundown too, Hunter. You know, because I was going to make the point that
I think everyone knows how bad Kevin Stallings really is. I just want to hear how bad you think he is.
Oh, I mean, he's very bad. But my point was going to be about the recruiting and that. At Pitt, you can't recruit in New York City and Philadelphia anymore because you don't really play those teams. You don't play teams from those cities anymore. You don't play St. John's. You don't play Villanova. You don't play Georgetown. It's different being in the ACC versus the Big East, and I don't think Kevin Stallings really ever figured that out. I mean, he was only there 2 years, so it's kind of hard to judge him on his recruiting classes because they're just coming in now. But Pitt has a new athletic director. The guy that hired Kevin Stallings, Scott Barnes, left for Oregon State. So the new athletic director wanted to go in another direction. And I think she kind of had no choice because going 0-18, not winning a conference game is just brutal. But I think Pitt has to focus on recruiting in the South. And when we think about the old Big East, a lot of the schools are struggling. Georgetown isn't the same. Connecticut, this morning, guys, they fired Kevin Ali, so they're going to be searching for a coach. Louisville is in shambles for different reasons, but they are down and out right now. Syracuse is on the bubble. I don't think they're going to get in tomorrow in the tournament, so they're kind of on a downswing in their program. So these old Big East teams haven't figured out yet how to recruit in their new conferences, and Pitt has done the worst job of all of them. You got to recruit Carolinas. You got to recruit Virginia. Atlanta
You could go into Atlanta and steal recruits from Georgia Tech, because Georgia Tech isn't a powerhouse. So if I was Pitt,
yeah,
the first place I would plant my recruiting people is Atlanta. Recruit in that metropolitan city instead of New York or Philly. You have to, because of who you play in your conference.
Yeah, yeah. Virginia will be very tough because, you know, you have, well, of course, UVA, who is the big dog, and then right after that, Virginia Tech, who is getting a lot of good recruits now, too, that they actually have a good coach replace. So I think Virginia would be very tough for Pitt to get recruits. I agree. They need to look farther south.
Well, there's only five starters on a team in basketball. You're not going to win a recruit away from Virginia, not this offseason, not next year, but you get a three-star kid that's going to go to VCU, or a three-star kid that's going to go to Richmond, and you tell them, hey, Virginia didn't want you. Virginia Tech didn't want you. We want you. Play in the ACC. You get to play against those schools that didn't want you. You get to prove to them that you belong in the ACC. We're gonna turn this program around. That's how you turn it around. Recruit those second-tier kids in North Carolina and Virginia to start. I think you can out-recruit Georgia Tech in Atlanta, but then recruit the secondary kids in Virginia and North Carolina. That's how you build this program back up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think you're right, Dave, and definitely I think it's learning how to recruit when you get into a new conference, and the Kevin Stallings never could figure it out with the who they hire in as their new coach and how they do heading into next season. Only have a couple more minutes in the show. Did want to get more into the Cubs, but not disappointed. We did we covered a lot of ground today. The one thing I wanted to say about the Cubs, and it's been interesting, the news coming out of Mesa, Arizona, because it seems like the Cubs are finally admitting that, you know, maybe there was a World Series hangover after all, because right now, 2018, everything coming out of there has been all business. And I've been kind of a guy who really didn't believe in the World Series hangover, but you looked at what the Cubs did early in the season last year. The players had become celebrities all over Chicago and throughout Major League Baseball. So it doesn't surprise me that maybe they did struggle as much as they did last year.
It's good to hear them acknowledge it, because I think they hurt themselves by not acknowledging that that could be an issue last year. I mean, they named a street after Javier Baez. So there absolutely was a hangover for the team and for the – and look, they accomplished something that was great. They should have milked the celebration for all it was worth. They did a great
and
job of that. But, they absolutely did, and they should have. They did the right thing there. But it's time to turn the page. It's next season. And, I think it'll prove to be great for them to be more businesslike this year.
Well, it's really surprising. Kyle Schwarber came into camp 20 pounds lighter.
Wow.
And you look between pictures of him last season and this season, and it's amazing how he looks in the batter's box compared to when he started out 2017. So, you know, that tells you, kind of gives you an idea of the business that they're in. It's amazing, because usually you don't see this. The team's rotation is pretty much set up. They're already lined up to go into the season with Lester, Hendricks, Darvish, Quintana, and Chatwood as their fifth five starters. And boy, if even fourth and fifth, Quintana and Chatwood as your fourth and fifth starters, a lot of teams would kill to have that kind of quality on the back end.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So right now, but I just wanted to bring up, the Cubs have 19 players on their 40-man roster hitting over 300 so far this spring. 15 of them have an OPS of over 400. So, you know, definitely taking a different approach at the plate, more serious approach at the plate. The problem, again, is Jason Hayward. been working out with new hitting coach Chili Davis. Hayward's only 3-for-18 so far this spring. It could end up in a platoon situation if he doesn't break out of this with Albert Almora and Ian Happ. But speaking of Ian Happ, this might be the guy who ends up at the top of the lineup next year. Switch hitter and is really set the Cactus League on fire so far. He's 9-for-21 with a .500 on base percentage, 4 home runs, 2 left-handed, 2 right-handed, and 2 of those have been leadoff home runs. So, you know, a chance that maybe the Cubs have found a leadoff hitter and didn't have to go outside of the organization for it.
Well, there you go.
That's perfect.
Well, the thing is, leadoff was so terrible for them last year, and a lot of people will downplay the importance of a leadoff man. I don't. I think a leadoff man is incredibly important at the top of the order, getting that extra at-bat per game. So Madden has not committed to Happ as his leadoff man going into the season, but look at Happ as a possibility, because right now he does look like he's taken to the role and does enjoy the role. So we can talk about that a little bit more in the next couple of weeks. We're out of time, unfortunately. Had a great show, really enjoyed it. Dave Holcomb and Hunter Hodes, this is Tom Pollan. And join us next Saturday morning on Weekend Sports Huddle, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And remember to set your clocks ahead tonight, because we're heading into daylight savings time. Everybody have a great week. We will talk to you next Saturday morning.